What follows is part three of an association address by Martha Wilcox, a teacher of Christian Science. It is her association address of 1940. The address is in three parts, and this part is titled Christian Science Practice. Christian Science Practice. Question and answer on hearing. We will consider today a question sent to me by a student. Since the answer includes several vital points in the practice of Christian Science, I asked this student if I might discuss it before the association. Quote, "Dear Mrs. Wilcox, I should like to have some helpful thoughts in regard to hearing. I have seemed to have a condition of impaired hearing to disturb my thought much too long. I have tried to realize perfection, but there seems to be something that stands in the way of my realization. I have heard others say, there is something in your own thought that needs correcting. But, Mrs. Wilcox, I could not agree with that statement. We know that God is all, and all means everywhere, and everywhere would certainly be in thought, and right where God is, nothing else can be. Then I came across this beautiful thought that substantiated my conviction. The thought was this: there is no condition to be corrected. All one needs is enlightenment. It also said, one does not take the position that the physical condition is the result of mental inharmony. Since it is enlightenment I need, will you please give it to me?" Close quote. In answering this question, let us clearly understand that the claims of mortal mind are always beliefs. And we, as Christian Scientists, do not ignore a belief, but we do make a clear distinction between ignoring a belief and accepting a belief. In Christian Science practice, we never ignore a belief of any kind. Neither do we accept it. If we accept a belief as an entity, then we become the victim of the belief. This student has accepted the belief of impaired hearing because she says, "I have seemed to have a condition of impaired hearing to disturb my thought too long." In Christian Science practice, we never ignore a belief. This student has not ignored the belief, but she has accepted it. And by accepting it in her thought as an entity, she became the victim of the belief. She says, "We know that God is all, and all is everywhere, and everywhere must be in thought, and right where God is, nothing else can be." This is excellent reasoning. But if this student fully realized her statement that God is everywhere, even the substance of her thought, she would have ascended above the mortal sense of this belief. This student should awaken to the fact that so long as she accepts the belief that she is in a state of impaired hearing and must in some way get out of this state, she will remain the victim of her belief, because the experience of impaired hearing is simply the objectification of her adverse thinking about this claim. The student should realize and maintain the fact that her Christ consciousness is the presence of God, or fullness of joy. There is nothing in her Christ consciousness that can sense impaired hearing. There was nothing in the Christ consciousness of the Hebrew boys that could sense destructive flames. They had not accepted the adverse thought of destructive flames as their consciousness. Therefore, they were not the victims of that belief. This student does not have to get out of this condition of impaired hearing. She is already out, because the Christ consciousness is not in an inharmonious state of any kind. Reasoning in this manner, this student will cease accepting the claim of impaired hearing because she is understanding herself as one with God. Good. This student should not ignore the claim, but she should handle it specifically according to the rules in the textbook. It may take much spiritualization of thought and a steadfast endeavor on her part to maintain the actual facts of her being. But Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "Be active, that is, be active in true thought, and however slow, thy success is sure." Close quote. That's from Miscellaneous Writings. We, as students of Christian Science, know that the ear has nothing to do with this claim of impaired hearing. We are told in our textbook to, quote, "detach sense from the body or matter, which is only a form of human belief, and you may learn the meaning of God or good, and the nature of the immutable and immortal." Close quote. This student has accepted the educated thought of the whole world that her ear is material, and that she hears by means of a material ear, that her ear has become imperfect, and thereby her hearing has become impaired. She has accepted this thought as her thought, and it has worried her and disturbed her until she feels her own adverse thought objectified as impaired hearing. Now, a material ear does not hear. It is mind only that hears. Not that mind is a means of hearing, but mind is an all-hearing mind, and mind to itself would have to become impaired before hearing could become impaired. Ear is never material. This so-called material ear is only the human mind's wrong way of sensing a divine idea, and has nothing to do with the function of hearing. We do not have this idea to hear with, but we have ear as divine idea because we spiritually understand true being. This divine idea, ear, forever expresses or shows forth the true hearing that divine mind is being. This student has accepted the world's belief as her belief, and her thought has become mesmerized, and now she must demesmerize her thought. In order to do this, she must recognize that her individual consciousness is the Christ consciousness, and has never been touched by aggressive mental suggestion or adverse thoughts of so-called mortal mind. Her Christ consciousness stands eternally as the Christ consciousness, and nothing can be added to it or taken from it. It is inviolate. In this process of demesmerizing consciousness, this student should handle specifically all the materia medica beliefs, which are the world beliefs or opinions of mankind about ear. She should understand and be thoroughly convinced that her ear is not a material thing, but a divine idea, wholly mental and wholly spiritual. If there seems to be a roaring in the head, etc., this student should handle the materia medica suggestion that the tympanum, or drum-like membrane in the ear, instead of remaining taut, has become sagged and does not allow enough air in the ear. This seeming condition is not supposed to impair the hearing, even in belief. Materia medica says this seeming condition is caused by intense mental strain. All these material beliefs are so many kinds of mental mesmerism and should be handled not as entities, but as belief only. In Christian Science, we learn that this particular idea, ear, in order to be what it is in its character and to have substance and existence, must have as its essence all the qualities of its cause or mind. For being a divine idea, it has the intelligence of mind, the substance of spirit, the body of soul, the creative power of principle, the conscious omni-action of life, the unalterableness of truth, the knowing and feeling of love. These characteristics of deity are the essential qualities that give to this infinite idea, ear, its divine character, its substance and essence. How enlarged is this idea when, quote, seen through the lens of spirit, close quote. Surely we cannot be mesmerized with the aggressive suggestion that ear is material and finite, or diseased, or inflamed, or swollen, or congested, or paralyzed, or imperfect. All these seeming sensations are not conditions of the ear, but are merely mesmerism and must be dealt with entirely in the mental. This student took exception to the statement, "There is something in your thinking that needs healing," on the ground that this statement did not tally with absolute truth. I would like to say right here, let us be most careful never to recognize a mesmerism as personal. A mesmerism of any kind is never in nor of person, but is always mortal mind feeling its own subjective state and seeing and feeling it objectified. If we see a claim as real and personal, either in ourselves or another, we are accepting the world's belief as our belief, and we make ourselves liable to that belief. We, as Christian Scientists, are to detect the errors of mortal mind as errors, therefore, as nothing and nobody. God, good, is all. Now, this statement, "There is something in your thought that needs correcting," was made from the standpoint of belief, and from this standpoint, it was a true statement. From the belief standpoint, this was the very thing that needed to be done. She needed to clear away the mesmerism in her own thought, because if the aggressive mental suggestion that mesmerized her to the extent that she felt impaired hearing were discerned and uncovered as suggestion only, she would be demesmerized and the healing would be instantaneous. The aggressive mental suggestions that are mesmerizing the student must be discerned and uncovered in her own mentality, and must be melted away by the unfolding of truth and love in her thinking. Her belief in impaired hearing is a mesmeric mental condition, and it is through an understanding of divine truth that she can deny that such a mesmeric state is possible. This student also said, "One is not to take the position that the physical condition is the result of mental inharmony. Both the mental inharmony and the so-called physical condition are impossible from the standpoint of true being. But if this student takes the position, from the standpoint of belief, that she has a physical condition called impaired hearing, then she will take the position that her condition is the result of mental inharmony, because a so-called inharmonious physical condition is always a mental inharmony objectified. Since some adverse thought which this student has accepted is disturbing her and is objectified as the physical inharmony of impaired hearing, then it is evident that this inharmony must be discerned and made extinct in her consciousness by understanding the spiritual facts concerning God and man. Speaking from the standpoint of fact, Mrs. Eddy says in the textbook, quote, "Immortal mind is the only cause. Therefore, disease is neither a cause nor an effect." Close quote. Then, speaking from the standpoint of belief, she says, quote, "False beliefs are the procuring cause of all sin and disease." Close quote. In Christian Science practice, we know that claims of sickness do not exist. We know that all claims are wholly false mental pictures, false beliefs, mesmerism, and that they can be extinguished only in our own mentality. In this way, they will disappear from our bodies. Then this student found this beautiful statement, quote, "There is no condition to be healed. All that one needs is enlightenment." Close quote. Yes, in truth, there is no condition to be healed, and all that this student needs is enlightenment. As her love for truth becomes supreme in her affections, it will displace whatever is unlike Christ, first mentally, then physically. The recipe for all healing is spiritualization of thought, and there must be deep consecration and faithful study on our part in order to earn our understanding of truth and demonstrate our true being.